Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were, in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Do you believe God's word this morning? Say amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we do ask, God, that you minister to us this morning. God, that you visit with us. God, Lord, that you bring healing to our hearts and help and satisfaction, Lord, of the things and the worries that we have going on in our minds. I pray, Heavenly Father, God, Lord, that we would take this time as the world turns it into merchandising, the world turns it into drunkenness, and the world turns it into everything, Lord, that it's not supposed to be, God, that your people would turn it into pure praise for you and for what you've done. Father, we celebrate the coming of our Lord, and Father, Lord, we look forward to his second coming, one of these days in the clouds. Lord, Father, help your people to be ready and established on that day. Bless the preaching of your word this morning, God. Humble my heart. Bless these people, dear God, Lord, Father, in the weakness of our flesh and of our minds and of our emotions. Father, Lord, that you would draw us to praise and to glorify you. Thank you, God, for all that you've done in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Some of this I'm going to wing my way through here because God's just kind of feeding me scriptures. I got up there on the screen, the ministry of angels, and I'll tell you here in a minute kind of where I'm going with this. In Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And at verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory. Now I want you to think about that in the context of what we just read. Okay, the angels came to the shepherds and they were declaring the glory of God. Jesus is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels. Now I want you to listen to that now. The angels are coming. They came to testify, not of their equal, not of someone who was less than them, even though in the book of Psalms, the Bible talks about that he made the sons of men and the son of man lower than the angels. And here Christ is coming down and he is descending, not just from heaven to the earth, but he is condescending to a state that is even lower than the angels. And I want you to know this and understand this. The angels understood who this was. That even though it was wrapped up in swaddling clothes, even though it was lying in a manger, you know what a manger is? It's a feed trough. feed trough for barn animals and things like that. Even though he was laying out there, he was not adorned as a king. He was not decorated as a king. The world did not honor him as a king, and yet he was the king of those angels. Those angels knew who he was. Amen? They knew who he was, and they were presenting him to the world. And I want you to think about that and get that in your heart, because it's going to be important here in a minute. So he says in verse 4, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world. Here's what was said now. When God brings Jesus to this world to be born in that manger, it says, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. That's what they were doing. Amen. Listen, I guarantee you, Satan was not one of those angels. Even though at the end of time, you know what he's going to do? He's going to bow his knee and proclaim that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God's going to make him do it. Amen. So anyway, he said, when he bringeth the first begotten in the world, let all the angels of God worship him. Verse 7, and of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. He said that to the Son. He said that the throne of heaven now belongs to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And those angels knew that. They gave testimony to that. They didn't go to Herod. They didn't go to the politicians. They didn't go to Rome. They didn't go to Caesar. They didn't go to the wealthy people of the world. They went out to the working men, to the shepherds, to the guys that get their hands dirty and smell like sheep. Amen? That's who they went to. Now, I want you to get this now. It's going to be important for you to know this. Unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. And so I'm going to talk this morning about the ministry of angels. In particular, what happened. And I've got much more to give you on this thing, but I'm going to kind of introduce a thought to you. All right? It's probably laying in the back of your mind. I think you'll get it when I give it to you. But let me tell you how I got this message. All right? I've been thinking about it, praying about it. Lord, what do you want me to preach? Go ahead and turn your Bible to Job. If you would, book of Job, and just kind of hang out there for a minute, all right? The other day, Friday, was out with Sweetie Pie. Sweetie Pie wants to go here, we go here. Sweetie Pie wants to go there, we go there. I wanted to go to the mall, South County Mall, and I have my reasons, and she's not privy to those reasons yet. Okay? She learned a long time ago, she's not going to ask me what I'm doing, what I'm spent money on. Not going to ask me until Christmas, all right? But we were out, and I told her, you guys go, you and Caleb go run off somewhere. Okay, get away from me. Well, they met Ron and Sandy. I later on met Ron and Sandy, and Ron said, yeah, your wife said that you pushed her out of the way and said, get on out of here, move on. Okay, I said this for a reason, trust me. And I did some shopping, and I went back out through Sears to the car and hid my stuff in there. And when I'm coming back through the parking lot, fixing across the little driveway there to go in the door there at Sears, I just glanced over to my right, and I saw an old man, and he was laying down on the sidewalk. And I looked at that for a minute. I thought, he needs help. And then I noticed there was a woman next to him, and she had just bent down to try to pull him up, and she was hollering, help. I had already started running. Listen, I don't run, Jim Samarzich, okay? I don't run 10 miles a day. I don't run ever, okay? But by the time she said help, I was already running, and when she said help, I mean, I double speeded over there. And I got over there, and this old man laying there. Blood was just pouring out of his nose, everything like that. And I said, "Ma'am, sir, are you okay?" And she said, "This is my dad." And she was an older woman, older than me, I tell you that. She said, "This is my dad." And she said, "He had a cane laying there on the ground." And she said, "I need help with him." And I said, "I don't have anything to..." A young lady walked by and she said, "You guys get some help?" I said, "We need some towels or something like that." I mean, he was just pouring blood everywhere. And so I said, "Sir, let's try to get you up." And so we picked him up and I held him. He just looked very weak. And I handed him his cane and she took her coat off and she put that up against his face to capture all that blood, because I mean, it was just coming out. And we were trying to get him to walk and he wasn't walking very good. And I said, "Tell you what, why don't you go get your car, bring it over here right to the sidewalk here. That way," she said, "that's a good idea." So she went and got her car. And by that time, a young lady come out. She had a bunch of paper towels from the bathroom. And I said, "Hold this right here up against your nose here." And he said, "Okay." And I reached down to pick up his hat. And it said, "World War II veteran." And you guys know what I do when I see those guys wearing that hat. And I said, "Sir," I said, where did you serve?" And I think he said the Aleutian Islands, which is up there around Alaska. Am I right on that? There's bases up there that we keep an eye on the Ruskies. Okay, and that's where he was. And I said, "Well, my uncle was down at Okinawa." And I said, "Thank you for honoring your country." Okay? So anyway, I helped him put his hat on, and she pulled the car around. And she came out and she said, "I can't thank you enough." I said, "No, ma'am. He deserves it. He deserves the help." So he had to be 93 years old. That's how old these guys are. We're losing all those, some of the greatest men that ever lived in America. We're losing them. Okay? You keep that in mind, because we're going to need some great men standing up in this country. So anyway, I helped him get in the car, and I said, "Ma'am, I think you need to take him either St. Anthony's, St. Clair's." She said, "I'll take him St. Anthony's." I said, "He needs to be looked at." He had a big cut right across the bridge of his nose here, and it may have been broken and everything like that. And I got him in the car, and I said, "Again, sir, thank you, and God bless you for what you did." So she thanked me, and I said, "Ma'am, it was nothing really." So I walked off. And you got to understand my mind sometimes. I had this little fantasy world sometimes I go to, and what I wanted to do was hurry up and get in the building so that when she drove by, it looked like I disappeared. So she would think, "That was an angel." I'm not kidding you. And then it hit me. You are. Just hadn't got there yet. Okay? So here's the deal. These angels in Luke chapter 2. Okay? That's us. And I'm going to show it to you. Listen, I don't make this stuff up. It's in the Bible. So here we go. Job chapter 2 verse 1. You're going to have to turn fast because I can't get my slides moving. That's this day. Chapter 2 verse 1. "Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord." And what I'm doing is I'm setting it up. I'm setting up this idea of who we are, and I mean who we are right now. Okay? So the sons of God, these were the angels. In Joel 8, verse 7, turn over there very quickly. Turn over there. Mark this down in your Bible. Okay? Job is on the tail end of what all of his three quote-unquote friends had filled his head full of nonsense. And Job was at that point now. He's ready to listen to God, and God is laying it on him. "Job, were you there, Job, when I made the sun? Job, were you there when I made the moon? Job, where were you when I did this, and when I created, when I put pillars under the earth, and when I divided the heavens? Where were you when I did all that?" And so that's what he's saying here in Job 38, verse 7. He's asking the question, "Where were you, Job?" And then he says, "When the morning star and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Stars are angels in the Bible. Okay, they always are. Every time you see stars, you think of angels. That star that the wise men followed, it was not a UFO. Amen. Amen. It was not a UFO. It was not a meteorite. It was an angel from God that and led those men over to that way. And I want you to think about that. That's the ministry of angels. That's what angels will do. That's what good angels will do. Amen. They'll lead the wise man to the Savior. That's what they'll do. You ponder this and think about this in your mind now. All right, now, go to John chapter 1. Hurry up. Hurry up. Dinner's waiting on us. Okay? John chapter 1. So, and here's what I want to tell you. In the Old Testament, the sons of God were represented as the angels, the angelic realm. Okay? That's the Old Testament. In the New Testament, that same, you chase the same phrase down. You just get your Bible out, get your software or whatever. You can use your phone, tablet, whatever, and search this phrase out. Sons of God, sons of the living God, sons of the Most High God, whatever. Sons of God. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now, how many of you sitting here today believe on the name of Jesus Christ? Raise your hand, say amen, shout hallelujah. You don't listen. You don't trust yourself. You don't trust anybody else in this world. You don't trust the politicians, Trump or Hillary or anybody. Amen. Don't trust them. But we trust the name of Jesus Christ. And because of that, God has given us power to become the sons of God. Picture this. There's a war in heaven. Michael and his angels are fighting against the dragon and his angels. And Satan, the dragon, lost the battle. Michael's prevailed. He kicks out a third of the angelic realm. They fall down to the earth. Guess who's going to take their place? Me. I'm going to move in their mansion. Amen. I like this already. So watch this now. Okay. He gave us the power to become the sons of God. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. There may be some people don't like me putting all those verses on the screen. Fine. Turn your Bible to them. Amen. Romans chapter 8. He gave us power to become the sons of God. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are. Now that word is present tense. Right now, they are the sons of God. You, right now, are the angels. What does the word angel mean? It's a Greek word. I don't get the Greek much, but I just... English comes from certain places, and the word angel comes from Greek. Angelion, which means messenger. Messenger. We've got a message to carry. God's got a word for mankind. He delivered it, the Bible says, by the hand of angels. And here we have, at the presentation, the word of God, Jesus Christ, to the earth. It was done so by the hand of angels, who, when they showed the shepherds the way, they then got together, glorified God, sang praises to Him, and they prayed for peace to be on this earth, not to just the good men, but all men. Do you believe your Bible? Say amen. For as many as are led, Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Turn to 1 John. 1 John. If you have trouble finding that, that's right before 2nd. John. You'll probably find 1 John before you will 2nd. 3rd John is one chapter apiece. 1 John chapter 3. Look at this. That's what revival sounds like. Pages turning. 1 John chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Now that lady and that old man didn't know me from Adam. But listen, I guarantee you God had me out to the car at that time to be in that place for that reason. Okay? You know what that... I'm going to help you a little bit. Something Ken Goff preached into us a long time ago, Brother Sterling. He said, you fuss and whine and complain because you're stuck behind some old guy on the highway who won't drive, and you're whining and carrying on like that, okay? And he said, you have no idea what God's bringing you to. He's slowing you down for a reason. Deal with it. Amen. So, and you know what? I ran all the way over there. It didn't hurt me a bit. I'm hurting for it today, I think. But anyway, that lady didn't at him. But she may have just been thinking, God sent that man over here. Because I was saying, God bless you. I want to pray for you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. And I hope she's thinking, God sent that man over here. Just like he would an angel. Okay? Just like he would an angel. The world knoweth us not because it does not know him. And but he says in verse 2, beloved, now, right now, are we the sons of God. We are ministering angels before the Lord. He's got a bunch of them in heaven. And thank God, by the grace of Jesus Christ, he's got a bunch of them down on this earth. God does not leave this world without people who will minister before him and offer praise to him. Think of it this way. God has priests up in heaven. They are of the order of Melchizedek. There are priests who are giving attendance to the temple of God, even as we are speaking right now. They're angelic priests. God has us here as priests. We are the priesthood of the believer, the Bible says. We offer up spiritual sacrifices, and we are performing what the Bible calls our reasonable service to God. Just as, remember what Jesus prayed, thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Are you catching this? We are the angels. We are they right now. We just haven't got the body that they have right now. That's coming. Behold, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We will get the angel body one of these days. But we already have the angel ministry today, right now, Christmas time. Amen? Bless my heart. There's a restaurant. Some of you have seen this. McDonald's restaurant in the day when everybody is supposed to be non-offensive and not critical of it. We don't want to show forth what we believe because that might offend what they believe. Listen, they don't mind showing what they believe. Amen? McDonald's restaurant, I don't know where it was, but they hired a sign painter, you know, these guys that paint stuff on store windows, to come over there and draw a nativity scene. Merry Christmas, and it mentions something about the Lord our Savior on the side of it. And I shout over that stuff. Listen, if that was in this town, I'd be over there three times a day. Amen? Pour money into this place. You're not offended by that. There's nothing wrong with telling people, God bless you, Merry Christmas. If you want somebody to pray with you, that'll be me. I'll pray with you and for you if you want it. There's nothing wrong with that, people. We've lost that. We've got this idea because they don't live like us, and they don't live like us, and they're wicked, vile, and they're corrupt, and they're everything else, that they don't want anything to do with our religion. Who said that? Maybe you'll find 20 that don't. Maybe you'll find one that does. Maybe you'll find an old man laying there. Maybe you'll find somebody needs a flat tire change. Maybe you'll see somebody at the store that put in front of you, drop all of her stuff. And I know how we think. That person that cuts in front of you at the store, when they drop all their stuff, I know we go, see? That'll serve you. Bend down, pick it up. Ma'am, here you go. Sir, here you go. Merry Christmas. God bless you. Let them hit you if they want to. Amen? Tell them Merry Christmas. Tell them God bless you. Jesus came for sinners like us. Ain't a thing in the world wrong with that. We don't have the body of the angels, but we have the ministry of those angels right now. So let me show you how this works. I got a couple places I'm going to go. Then we're going to go back to Luke. So turn to Genesis chapter 3. Here's the ministry of angels. Okay? And you can go all through your Bible. My mind was reeling with this while I was putting this together. This boy, I tell you what, I was weeping over this yesterday. God bless my heart with it. And I guess that's why I'm just kind of emotional today. I want the service to go right. I want all the music to sound good. I want this and that and the other. And it gets me all worked up. And what I really want is just to honor God and bless. Here's the here's the one of the points of the ministry of angels. Genesis chapter 3. You know what happened in Genesis chapter 3? Man and woman sinned. They violated God's law, and so they had access to the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they ate from both. And God said, you're going to have to, or excuse me, we know they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And God said, we can't have them here to have access to the tree of life. So he put Adam and Eve out. That's where you and I are now. We're out because of our sin. Okay. And so in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24, so he drove out the man and his wife with him, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden, who? Cherubims. You know who they are? They're angels. And a flaming sword which turned every way. And here was their job. It was to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, let me read to you a verse of Scripture. You can look at this phrase in the Bible. A righteous man's words are a tree of life, the Bible says. In Revelation 22:14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, that they may enter in through the gates into the city. God has a tree of life now in heaven. And even though he has put us out, he will accept us back in one of these days to have access to that tree of life by Jesus Christ, who came 2,000 some odd years ago. Somebody say amen. Amen. Okay. But here is one of our ministries, one of our jobs, one of the roles that we play. We are here to keep the way of the tree of life. The tree of life is what's sitting in your lap right now. That's the Word of God. That's the Bible. We want, this is what makes us live forever. Peter declared to Jesus in John 6, when Jesus said, will you also go? And Peter said, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You are holding in your hand the tree of life right now. And God has given us the ministry to keep the way of that tree. If everybody else wants to fall all over themselves, over Islam, like Rick Warren, saying that we all worship the same God. If he wants to do that, phooey on that. God is looking for some people to not want to just get along with everybody. God is looking for some people that he can give a charge and a ministry to and say, here is the way of life. Here is the tree of life. Keep it. Don't let anybody defile it. Don't let anybody turn it into something that it's not. You are charged with keeping the way of the tree of life. And if everybody in your family wants to smoke and drink and buy TVs and all this other junk that they do at Christmas time, you keep the way of the tree of life. You don't have to do it with a mean attitude. You don't have to be hateful about it. But my goodness, let your family know I'm a Christian. We serve the Lord. First day of the week comes around. This is where we are. We're here serving the Lord. It may not seem like much to you, and I know you know me. I ain't much of nothing. But God has given me His way to keep in my life, and that's something that I plan on doing until I die, and He calls me out here. Somebody say amen. 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 Here's another one. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. There are tons of places in your Bible where it talks about what angels do. Okay? Who was it that told Mary she was going to have a baby? Who was it? Who was it that rescued Lot out of Sodom? It's two angels. Okay? You just go through your Bible and look at places where the angels did something. That's your ministry. Okay? Some of you, probably people in this church, cannot get up here and run their mouth way past 12 like I do. Okay? Amen. But surely, you can stand firm on this book and say, this is the Word of God and we're not changing it. Amen. Isn't you? See how God's using you? He's using you while you're just bulled up and bullheaded about the Bible. God's using you to preserve the way of the tree of life. And there's about 900 families out there right now that are thankful for it. And there's 300-500 people out there in Kenya that are right now. And we're in a different village. And Michael, have we been to that village before? No. I don't think so. We're just in a different place every time. There's people in every one of those villages that will thank you for keeping the way of the tree of life. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 1, here's some more angels. You're going to like this. And by the way, this is going to fit in with what I'm showing you. Look at verse 4. And they looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire, also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a what? You see, Paul told us to be careful to entertain strangers because we may entertain angels unawares. They would be in our presence and we wouldn't even know it. Okay? And I told this story about a guy that came. We had a barbecue here after a Sunday service one time. He came, he was hungry, he was walking, and he didn't ask for much, but we were having this big barbecue, so we fed him, loaded him up with a bunch of food. He was trying to get all the way up to Chicago, that's what he said. And Joe Pogue and somebody else got in a van and took him all the way up to 270 and Telegraph and dropped him off, and they said when we come back around, he was gone. They say, ain't no way he could have walked that fast, and he was just gone. That's what I had in my mind when I was walking away from that old guy. Now if I could just vanish, they would go, that was an angel. It was. I just didn't have the vanishing body part, okay? It was an angel in their midst. And I know I ain't no angel, but by the grace of Almighty God. Angels will have the likeness of a man, okay? Now look at verse 22. They had a firmament. These four angels had a job to do. They had a platform upon their heads. That's what a firmament is. There was a firm platform on their head, and the living creature was the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. And look at verse 24. I like this. Man, I like this. When they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, the voice as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host when they stood and let down their wings. One, another of your ministry as an angel or a minister of God is that when you speak, it should sound like the Almighty God. Do you get that? Instead of you running and complaining and running your mouth all the time, which is what I've been doing, instead of throwing a fit and a spell everywhere, especially this Christmas, when everything's not going right, and these people are late, and this is not done yet, and why don't I get some help around? Instead of you doing that, or you throwing a fit at work, or whatever it is you do, wherever you're around your family, or you're at the store, or you're at the mall, or whatever it is, when people hear you talk, it ought to sound like God talking. Because when these angels, when they moved their wings, it sounded like God's voice talking to them, talking out. I want that in my life. I want people to hear, be able to hear the voice of God coming out of my mouth. Somebody say amen. That's another of your ministry. Look at verse 26, same chapter. They had this firmament upon their heads, and it says in verse 26, and above the firmament was over their heads the likeness of a what? Throne. Who's on that throne? Jesus Christ. Has the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. Guess who that is? That is Jesus Christ, people. Okay? And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within, from the appearance of his loins even upward, from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw it was the appearance, as it were, the appearance of fire, and had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Now let me describe this scene for you, and this all sounds kind of weird unless you put scripture together. These four angels had a platform on their head. It was a crystal platform. And on top of that platform was a throne. Now here's something you need to remember. Each one of these four angels had wings. That makes them a chariot. They were a chariot. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that the angels of the Lord are, or the chariots of the Lord are 20,000, even thousands of angels. These angels had the appearance and the function of a chariot that God Himself rode. I don't know if you've ever seen that scene in your mind when you think of God being on His throne, but it sits on a platform on chariots, just like the car you have out here has got four tires on it. Well, this chariot had four, it was four-wheel drive. Amen? Never got stuck in the mud, amen, or the snow. It was four-wheel drive chariot. Here was these angels. And some of you rednecks ought to be going, that's right, amen. But here's the deal. Everywhere they went, they had the throne of God on. When they went this way, they had the throne of God. When they went this way, they had the throne of God. When they was around their family, they carried with them the throne of Almighty God. When they were with their co-workers, they carried with them the throne of Almighty God. They didn't go anywhere, but God on His throne was being with them. Are you catching it? You know what I'm getting at? Every place you go, God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Father, ought to be with you, guiding you. The throne means, by the way, it's over their heads. Anything that's over somebody's head rules over them. That's even now, when I was a boy and we get out wrestling, okay, and we wrestling with the other boys. Anybody remember that? Okay, and when you got somebody down on the ground and you didn't want to let them up, what'd you do? You better put your foot or foot on their neck or their back and don't let them up. Amen? That means you're in charge, you're the one, you're the boss, you're the king of the mountain. Amen? Every place we go, we ought to bear with us the throne of Almighty God. And when your friends or your family members or your co-workers or the people at the store or wherever it is you go, when they're saying, let's do this, here, have some wine, here, have some beer, here, we're going to have us a good time. Won't you come on over Sunday morning? We'll have us a good time. You say, no, I cannot do that. God sits on a throne over my life. And when it comes to the day of the Lord, I have to be in one place and one place only, and that's where I'm going to be. And then after Sunday's over, when it's Monday and you go to work, you carry the throne with you. And when the guys at work want to talk about this, or the girls at work want to say this, talk about this, and get you involved in it, you say, no, I cannot do that. You don't have to be mean about it. You don't have to be ornery about it. You don't have to get them to hate your guts. But you could just say, I don't do that. Or, I'm trying to quit. Because you do it, and you're trying to quit. That's good. Now let's get to the other part. Luke chapter 2, turn back there. Verse 8, and they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, and watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. They were sore afraid. Now remember, this is your ministry. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Now let me say this. The world is not getting better. It's getting worse. We're hearing rumblings in the state of Missouri about what terrorists are. They're buying up cell phones, stealing propane bottles, from what I hear. There's something going on. We don't know what it is. And it's making people afraid. And it's going to happen, and things are going to get worse. You have a ministry that you could go to these people and say, fear not. Fear not. Let me tell you what God's going to do. Let me tell you why this is happening. Let me tell you why, even if it happens and it's bad, let me tell you why I won't be afraid of it when it does. Because of who I've come to tell you about. He said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to who? All people. Doesn't matter if they're white, black, red, yellow. Doesn't matter what color dirt they're made of. Doesn't remember what family it comes from. Doesn't remember what tribe they come from. Doesn't matter. Did you hear that, you people out in Kenya? God wants you to love your enemies out there. Not try to kill them. Not try to get back at them for what they did. Listen, Kenyans, I love them. But they tend to be, in many places, very tribal, which is family. And if you're not part of our clan and our family, then you're not one of us. And I want to tell you something. God will work on you. God will make you love somebody that you hate. Amen? God will make you love and serve somebody that's not part of your family. Amen? This tidings of great joy is to be to all people. Even the people that's not like us, even the people that's part of the families that we don't like, God makes us bring good tidings of great joy to all people. And that good tidings, you know what that is? Isaiah 61 and Luke chapter 3, if you compare those two, you'll see that the phrase good tidings is what the gospel means. The good tidings is the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, at this time of year, God is not calling us to find a good sale. God is not calling us to outdo with presents. God, and I'm not saying there's not anything wrong buying something on sale. There's not anything wrong with wanting to give a good gift to somebody that you love and care about. I don't care who says it's wrong. There ain't nothing wrong about that. Amen. Show your love for people while you still got them. You can't buy them gifts after they're dead. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. Not our ministry as the sons of God. He calls us in this world, in the midst of all this perversion, in the midst of all this nonsense that's going on in this world, to proclaim to them that there is a reason why this day even comes around. It was chosen as a day to commemorate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And get this in your mind, He was born to die. He was born just like a good soldier. He was born to be willing to offer His life as a sacrifice for His people. That's why He came. That's why all of this have in this world is possible. That's why when people talk about having a little bit of Christmas joy, there ain't no joy unless you have the living Christ living in your heart. Somebody say amen. And He's coming. He came once, and God give us the ministry. He's coming again. Tell people about that. Go, let's sing that song for some. Go tell it on the mountains. You know what that means? Don't keep it quiet. Tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. You will get some odd looks for some people, but you will find somebody. I guarantee you, you say that in line at the store when people are saying, I don't know what this is all about. Say, Jesus Christ came to die for our sins. He was born as... You might get a sneer from somebody. I guarantee you, three people back, you'll hear an amen. There are still some people that don't go to church right now, not living for the Lord. They know that this time of the year is not about Santa Claus. It's not about sales. It's not about going to the movies. It is about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. That's your ministry. That's your calling. You're the angels. He said, and the angels gathered around saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. We don't find a lot of peace right now. We find right now all the politicians are fighting one another, even the same party accusing these. There's fights in politics, there's fights in business, there's fights at the stores, there's fights in families. Are you listening to me? There's fights in marriages, there's fights among the children. There's no peace anywhere. The ministry that God has given us at this time of year is to tell people you can have peace. You can lay your head down at night and feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. And as you're closing your eyes to go to sleep with a tear in your eye, you can say, God, thank you for giving me peace in my heart. I pray that tomorrow turns out better than today. Amen. You can do that, people. It's what you were called here for. You're the angel. You're the angel of God. You're the Son of God. A whole lot more I want to preach, but I want to let you go. Let's stand to our feet.